Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome to the Irish Country Living Podcast.
Hi folks, welcome back to the Irish Country Living Podcast. I'm your host, Anna Dunhill. This week we're actually on tour with the podcast. We're down in Dungarvan in County Waterford. We were there to meet Christina Desmond. Christina is a Gard based down there, but she's originally from Cork. And Christina will be probably best known as a boxer. She is number one in Ireland and number six in the world in her weight division. She boxes at 69 kg and that is middleweight, I believe. We had a big chat with Christina all about balancing sport at an elite level with having a career. We spoke about how she got into boxing and how integral her family were to that, and also a little bit about missing out on the Olympics. We go into all that in the podcast, but with tournaments being cancelled, Christina ended up on the wrong side of Olympic qualification, unfortunately, and there was very little she could do about it. So we get into all that. So I hope you enjoy. Christina, how are you keeping?
Good. How are you?
Great. Great. Thank you very much for having us down here. What's the name of this boxing club?
So it's just Dungarvan Boxing Club, yep. But it's the Peter Crotty Gym. So we box out of that club here in Dungarvan. I actually box for Father Horgan's in Cork. That's my club and the Garda Boxing Club. But Dungarvan Boxing Club have been kind enough to let me use their facilities and box underneath their name with the past 2 years maybe, as I've been working down here that long. So they're very good, they're very facilitating, and they've let me use the gym whenever I like, whatever time I want and whatever day I like, so it's great.
And how's training and stuff going for the moment? Are you in a busy period or quiet?
It's not too busy at the moment, so probably get into it, but I didn't make the Olympic cut because the Olympic qualifiers were cancelled, the World Championships were cancelled because of COVID. So at the moment, I am just training away bits and pieces, doing my own thing. I'm playing a bit of GAA as well, just to keep the head going and away from boxing as well. So I'm just trying a bit of everything at the moment, but I'd say come August I'll be back full-time training in the boxing and back to normality then.
And you playing a bit of football?
Yeah, I'm actually after joining a local team here in Dungarvan, the Bricky Rangers. Well, it's Kilrossity Brickies, they call it. So it's a female team and I'm playing along with the junior team, so it's great crack.
Fantastic.
So
it is.
So yeah, it's just I haven't had a break from the boxing since I was 16 or 17, so I wanted to kind of get to know people down here and to try something different that I didn't have to be all every evening boxing. So this is just something to keep me occupied, really.
And how are you finding, I suppose, kind of like coming back a little bit from it, even just temporarily? Is it weird for you, or is it nice to have a break?
It's strange. It is really strange. I gave up Gaelic football at home. I was playing at Naval Bon, at a pretty good level enough. When I was 16, 17, I came back for a few matches after that, but I gave it up because I had to take on full-time training for boxing, and I made a decision to go full-time boxing. So now it's a bit strange to be back, to be fair, because I'm playing with a team and I'm normally working by myself, and that's what I wanted as well, just the change from working by myself, and that, there's training on Wednesday night or Thursday night and I'm there and I come home after the hour, Normally when I'm training by myself, it could be 2 hours by myself, and it's long and boring. So now once I'm in it, I don't take any notice, but it's good to be back and good to be able to meet people. That's the, more or less the main thing that it was really, was just to meet people.
Yeah, 10-10, you still have it now as well, like, do you know what I mean? Being able to like join up a team, and it's a great way to meet people.
Absolutely, yeah, like just things were getting a bit rough there, you know, it was tough not getting the Olympics, and that was the goal all along, and I was training for that and all that, so it was hard. So I've just had a few weeks of just enjoying myself and just doing what I want, rather than having the focused life and the directed life. You know, you're it's fairly full on when you're full-time training.
I can imagine. And do you mind talking about the Olympic situation, Christina?
Not at all.
Or are you sick today? Are you sick today?
No one understands, because, you know, obviously that was my goal. I didn't really broadcast it either. That ever knew that Tina wanted to go to the Olympics, and that was it. So it doesn't really bother me now. Like, these things happen. I do believe everything happens for a reason. I lost the world champion in the European qualifiers last year. It was always my goal to qualify anyway at the world championships. As I would, the European boxers are always they're actually the best at my weight. So if I got to the European qualifiers, which I could, I would have the beatings of most of them, if not all of them. It just would have been a tougher route. So the World Championships was my route, and they happened to get cancelled. So they are only after taking 4 girls from the European, at the Europeans at my weight, and I just didn't make the cut. So I would actually be ranked 6th in the world at the moment. It's just how rankings went and how. And the cuts went, I just didn't make it. So these things happen.
But obviously, as you said, if you lost fair and square when you went to the tournament, you could probably come to terms a little bit easier, but it's tough when you don't get the chance to,
absolutely.
You know,
and there's
perform.
A lot more in my position worldwide, and there's girls that are training full-time. I just was lucky I had a career, to be fair, that I could fall back in. But if I went and lost the World Championships fair and square, happy days, like, you know, we'd just move on. But it's very hard mentally to come to terms with it. Like, you know, I kind of turned my back on training for a while and just didn't want to do it. Like, didn't want to know about it. Like, because, you know, I dedicated everything for it. Like, so, but here, I'll get back into it. Once I'm back into it, I'll be flying. Like, you know, it won't be like I took a break at all. But mentally now, I'm actually happier I did take a break.
Yeah.
So I am, so I can go forward. Like, you know, I'm enjoying a bit of life and I'm at home. And if there's anything happening at home, I'm there rather than missing out. Like, because I've missed a lot over the years. Because of training and because of tournaments, and it has been tough.
And I suppose, was it very, obviously now it's good to be kind of on the other side of it, but at the time, I was reading you were actually in isolation when you found out that you weren't going to get to go, you were actually coming home from London, were you?
No, it actually wasn't even, I had been in isolation for London, I'd been in isolation after coming home from a camp in Italy, so I've done a lot of isolation, but no, I actually was a close contact in work. So I've been working, I was on my 4th shift, it was a Friday night, and we happened to have a prisoner that I was a close contact. So,
because obviously you're on the front line being a guard, and it's going to happen, kind of.
Yeah, just, absolutely. Know. And we take it in our chances, really. Like, we're lucky we're all vaccinated now, thank God. But yeah, it was tough now at the start. So I went into isolation. I couldn't even go to my house here in Dungarvan, as I live with other guards. So I had to go straight home and go into isolation. And we had a meeting on the Monday morning over Zoom. And that's how I found out that the qualifiers were cancelled. So there was no warning, there was nothing. In fairness, the trainers and the high performance team only found out that morning. And they wanted to tell us before it broke in the papers or broke in the media. So, we were told over Zoom. So it wasn't ideal, no, it wasn't. But like, I'm fortunate enough that I have a career and I had a good family behind me. And it was okay. Like, at the start, I took no notice. I actually got the call. And I went straight out for a run, like, and I was just going on as normal, like. And then about a week later, I was like, do you know what? I need to just step back and take a few weeks here. So, it hasn't been. I've been tipping away, but nothing like I was, like. I'm not doing 6 days a week, twice a day training like I was. It's just a few days here and there, and keep you up to fitness. I'm not as fit as I should be, but I'll get there again.
fitness always comes back, so it does.
Exactly, yeah, after a while.
And this is probably not the question you want to be asked either, but would you be thinking about Paris 2024, or are you kind of just seeing how it goes for the moment?
That's the aim, yeah, that's the goal. Like, if I had made the Olympics this year, I might have gone again. Like, I'm only 25 now.
So you've plenty of time.
So I'd probably be 28, 29 by the time that comes around. So
I'm dead age myself, and I'm the fittest I've ever been in my life.
that's the dream, and I will wait around for the Olympics. There was a lot of stuff going around there that I turn pro, and maybe down the line I will, but I'm going to try and go for the Olympics first at 2024. Is it? I don't even know what year we have.
What year is it?
I know, it's mad.
It's maybe 3 years' time.
3 years' time, yeah. So I don't know, I might take a career break, I'm not even sure yet, but yeah. We'll wait and see. I'll see what happens. Like, I'll have to be in contingents first from Ireland, and at the moment I am the number one, and I still am the number one. So that's where I aim to stay, and whatever happens after that happens. So.
And what weight are you boxing at?
6 to 9 kilo. I don't look it now today. I'm a
bit. Don't worry about it.
I'd be killed if they actually knew my proper weight. But no, I box at 6 to 9 kilo. I won't ever sit at that anyway. You'd only cut into 69 for the fight.
And you'd be up then again.
You'd sit about 3 kilos heavier than a leg.
Yeah.
I box at 69 kilo. I was a 75 kilo boxer, which is the middleweight. But the girls were a lot taller and a lot stronger, and they were built physically better than me.
Yeah.
So I didn't actually have a choice. There was only 3 Olympic weights before this Olympics. That was 51 kilo, 60 kilo, and 75 kilo. And Katie Taylor was the 60 kilo, so I wasn't going to that category. I was too big for it anyway. So the catch weight was in the middle. That was my weight. Like, so I was delighted when they did introduce the 69 kilo. So I have an agreement with my trainer, Tom Power, at home, that I'll never again step in the ring at 75 kilo. So I'll have to drop back into 69. But I'm a lot better at 69. I'm a lot faster and I'm a lot fitter. So that's the weight for me, really.
And talk to me about boxing training. Because you were kind of saying there, like, is it really the 6 days a week, 2 days a week? Is that the reality of the kind of the level you were boxing at?
I was training 6 days a week anyway, and twice a day most days.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that easy now, and especially trying to hold down a job. I wasn't training when I was on night shifts or whatever, so that's the worst. Like, shift work is a disaster. But I was trying my best to keep up that as much as I could. And then if I was away in camps, that's what it would be all the time. Like, so it is tough. It is, you have a session in the morning, a session in the evening. You're pretty much a robot, really. You're just eating, drinking, and training and sleeping, really.
And are you training in the gym if you're doing two?
When I'm on the high performance team, which is more or less all the time other than training, other than at work, we train in the morning and in the evening, and the morning session would be on the track or in the gym, and in the evening sessions in the gym every evening. You know, we'll either be doing close contact sparring or TikTok sparring, which would be a longer period of time, but not as intense. So it's all intense, really, when you're in the ring. It doesn't. It doesn't make a difference.
Yeah.
So
if someone's coming at you, you need to be ready.
Exactly. So our training in Dublin then is normally Tuesday to Friday, and there the past year it has been Monday to Friday.
And would you go up to Dublin every week for training?
Yeah. I'd only train out of the club here, the club at home in Cork. When I could, like, you know, it was more or less Dublin, and then here. So then the Saturdays I train here or in my own club with my own coach, and then or one of the coaches here, they've been top class in fairness, and or else in Dublin. So it's not too easy now. So then you'd have the Sunday off, and then you'd do a small session on the Monday. You wouldn't do two sessions on the Monday and then back to Dublin on the Tuesday again. So it's fairly intense, all right.
So you're going to Dublin every week?
More or less every week,
That's a lot of driving. Between the work and the training, there's a lot of driving in there as well.
Yeah, there is, yeah. Now, from here, it's not too bad. It's 2 hours and a bit. But from Cork, from my home place in Cork, it's 3 and a bit. Like, it's long.
Yeah.
It is long. And I have the longest journey out of everyone, like, but sure, the Dubs, as they call it. They don't understand the travel. Like, no. They don't care. Once, if it's outside of Dublin, they don't care. Like,
Life outside the M50 is an enigma to them.
Yeah. It doesn't make a difference to them, But I was more or less Monday to Friday, but if I had to stay at work, like, there was a few days that I couldn't leave work, that, like, you know, I was tied to it, that I wouldn't. But I was more or less, we are working 4 days on and 4 days off at the moment, and I was pretty much 4 days in Dublin and 4 days here. So it was fairly intense now. So that's why I have been taking a nice long break for myself. I just needed time out.
Yeah, well needed and well deserved.
Yeah.
And you're from Kilimantra?
Yeah, that's my
no,
club.
No, I said that wrong. Kill, use the
yeah, no, Killamartry, yeah.
Killamartry, yeah. I had an in thrown in there somewhere, I could hear
you're
it.
You're okay, you're fine. Yeah, Killamartry is my parish. That's where I grew up, Coolavouca, it's a small little townsland. And yeah, that's where I grew up, and then we went to school in National School of Killamartry, secondary in Ballyvourna, so Clash to Gumleton. So it's all in the Gaeltacht, so we're all fluent in Irish at home.
Oh, fantastic, are you?
Love it. I absolutely love having it, especially when you're representing your country. It's great to be able to speak the native language. So yeah, we grew up through Irish, yeah. So there's a conversation at home. It could be in English or in Irish.
Fantastic. Because I was confused my dog, and I was kind of putting you more Macroom as opposed to in Ballyvourna, kind of, do you know?
So the Gaeltacht Musgrí is made up of Ballyvourna, Killamartry, Coolé and Ballingarry. So we are actually in the Gaeltacht, but we are only
Fantastic.
10 minutes from Macroom.
Yeah.
But we don't say Macroom. We start with Killamartry, then if they don't know Killamartry, Ballyvourna, and then we go to Macroom.
If you're off with stuff,
or it's 20 minutes from Killarney, and we're not even that. We're half an hour. We're not Kerry. And that's the next thing, is we're not Kerry. But we're on the border, like we're Cork, so.
But that's only if you're
awful
off and
stuff.
They'd want to be from outside the country now to be given that kind
Absolutely,
of information.
Absolutely, yeah, because yeah, that's the only pinpoint that we can locate, like. But no, it's Killamartry. It's a grand, lovely little parish, and it's a small little parish, but it's very, very close knit and all. And the family would be huge into the GAA, so we're fairly involved in the community and in the area. So I love going home. Absolutely love it.
Is there any in your family?
I have a twin brother, Michael. He plays for the local intermediate team. I don't know if the intermediate or premier intermediate will be killed. He's at a very good level anyway.
Yeah.
So he plays with them and he plays with Musgrí. He did box.
Yeah.
That's why I did start boxing. Michael started boxing, so I was his twin. I had to do everything he did.
Well, I have a brother that's only 1 year older than me, and I know how that feels.
Yeah.
Whatever it is about being at a very young age, you kind of just, you know.
You have to do what they're doing, and then we just have to, like, whatever Michael was doing, I had to be as good as him at it. Like, so we tried everything when we were younger. My poor mother, my mother and father, they had an awful job with us, trying to draw us all. And then I have an older sister, Louise. She's working in the IB, and my younger sister then is studying business. So Louise's, the older sister, is 28, and my younger sister is 19. They're about a few weeks. So she's a little pet, but then I'm still the star in the house. I still keep that role. So yeah, so there's just four of us and my father. My mother passed away when I was 7, when myself and my brother were 17.
I'm sorry, dear.
So you're all right, decent happened. And so yeah, we're fairly close, all right, to be fair, at home. They've been a great help, to be fair. Without them, I wouldn't be where I am, like, they're top class. And not alone them, my aunts, my uncles, and extended family. There's loads of cousins there, a heap of cousins. We're a big country family, to be fair. So yeah, we're fairly tight-knit and close, so we are. So it's good.
And you were into a lot of sports when you were younger?
Yeah. We did Gaelic football. Michael did hurling. We both did a bit of soccer. Irish dancing. Every one of us were thrown into Irish dancing. Swimming, like, more or less all of the first cousins on one side were all trained fully as lifeguards. Like, you know, we were just
training. Me too, it's a great skill to have.
Yeah,
it is
great.
I did a bit of swimming with my team when I was
younger. Yeah, swim. One of the, like, we have an open swimming pool in Coolé, so we all were thrown in. You didn't get a choice every summer. But it was great crack, and we have great memories from it. So.
That's why, because we had an outdoor pool as well, now it's gone, but it was the best crack we ever had as children.
Oh my God,
I can't remember learning how to swim ever, like, because you were just always...
You were just thrown in, you had no choice. Yeah, I actually don't remember the learning part either.
Yeah, neither do I.
But it was good crack. So yeah, we tried everything, and my mother gave me the ultimatum, either... We played every instrument as well, like, we tried everything. But I feel that's the best way for kids, anyway. But yeah, my mother gave me the ultimatum of Irish dancing or boxing, because she thought I was going to pick the Irish dancing, and I said, no, I want to go boxing. And there was a few weeks where she wasn't really happy, but sure, these things happen. So lucky I did, because I don't think I would be at the level I am with the Irish dancing than what I am at the boxing, and I love being different, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
That's what drove me, really, is, like, you know, At 16, I had to make a decision, either boxing or football. Gaelic football, I was playing Naoimh Bonn, and I was playing on the Cork panel, playing with the Cork team for Gaelic football. And at the time, Cork football, and still is,
top
class.
Yeah.
So it was either represent my county at a high level and continue on to the senior level, or represent Ireland by myself. You know, I'm not selfish, I'm not like that.
Yeah.
But Yeah, it was either that or go further afield and represent my country, which no one had done in my locality or in Cork.
Yeah.
So that was the goal. That was the aim. So.
And what age when you started boxing, Christina?
We first went into the club. My dad's first cousin, John Desmond, said it to him. Oh, will Michael come in and do a bit of training? So Michael went in one night, and I was in the next night after him.
You
we were
got
11.
The 2-for-1.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's always the way with us. Like, even now, if he's going somewhere, I'll have to go with him when I'm at home, and that's not too often now. And then when I kept on asking, can I box, please let me box, and they were like, no, they kept on saying no, like, women's boxing wasn't that big at the time. Every tournament, there was only like 50 females in this whole tournament, and you'd be just thrown in with anyone. Now I was sparring boys, and I was fighting boys, not at a high level, but like, we were just, I was in with the boys, like, so it was just normal, and I took no notice of that either. And then at 13, they said, all right, yeah, they were sick of me, so they just let me box. And I won my first Irish title that year. And
fantastic.
Yes, so we were the first set of twins. It has been done since, but we were the first set of twins in Ireland, a mixed set of twins to win All-Irelands on the same day. So he won one and I won one the same day, so it was grand, which is fine. We're just used to it now. He's 5 Irish titles and I've 18 of them, so. He gave up after that. He made the decision to go with the Gaelic football. He was at heavyweight, so when you're at that level and when you're at that weight, you have to train full time. You couldn't be playing football with it, like, so.
Yeah.
He decided that football was for him, and I decided we couldn't be the same anyway because
the competition.
So but he has won numerous All-Irelands and Munsters and everything with football. And my younger sister then, she does a bit of boxing as well. She's boxing at a Riverstone, actually, a different club in Cork. But yeah, I wouldn't mess with her either. To be fair, and then the older sister, then is. She doesn't box, but if she did box, she'd be the world champion because she's lethal. Yeah,
she'd take the whole lot of us.
She'd take the whole lot of us, yeah. But she's more the girl that sits back in the background and does all the preparing work, and in fairness to her, she's top class.
And with all the kind of work and training involved in boxing, do you need that good support system of the kind of family around you?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, absolutely. It is tough. There's some days that you don't get home. If you do get home, you're only home for a few hours. So, like, when you do get home, you have to try and go wash everything and do, you know, it's hard. So, it's easy when I come home and my bags sometimes are emptied and done and dusted. So, yeah, you need the tight-knit community. And as well, a lot of people don't understand the commitment involved. Like, so, when they don't understand, they're like, you know, oh, Tina's not around this weekend again. Like, but, like, my main friends and my family understand that, like, you know, and if there's an occasion, then that I can make, they make it special, like, you know, that kind of way. So, like, this year, I was the first time I was home for my birthday in our birthday for 5 years. So, I was delighted to be home, but I got an extra, even though through COVID, I got an extra special day. So, it was nice. They're very good, yeah. You need it, yeah.
And would boxing give you unbelievable discipline?
Yeah. I would tell anyone to. I kind of was disciplined anyway. I was grounded. I was never too bold. I would have always been a goody two-shoes, I'd say, when I was younger. Maybe outside. I was very good outside in public, but when I was at home, I was a nutcase. I did so many things at home with my poor parents. But yeah, when I was out, I was perfect. I was a great child. But I would advise anyone to put their kids into boxing for discipline in this top class.
Yeah.
Like, you know. It's something that will interest a lot of people, and it keeps them in line and on track, because nowadays it's so much to do with social media and everything, like, and it's hard for kids to grow up in this day and age. I feel with the amount of drugs and alcohol abuse and everything going on, I think it's 100% something that all kids should get involved with. So, and I hope I'll be able to give back in time to come when my boxing side does settle down. Discipline is top class. Yeah, I wouldn't be where I was today. I wouldn't be in the Guards, serving as a member of an Garda Síochána if I wasn't a boxer. I don't think anyway.
Do you think so? It helped kind of keep that focus, I suppose, and
yeah, it helped me keep the head down. And it is not easy to get in or to do anything inside in the job. So, you know, it kept me focused, and it was something that I was able to do.
Yeah.
I was able to put my head and put my mind to things. So I'm a bit like, if I'm doing something, I'll do it to perfection.
Yeah.
But if I don't want to do it, I won't. Like, you know, that's just how I am. But if I am 100% committed, I'll do it. I won't leave any stone unturned. So I feel that the boxing has done that to me.
Yeah. And when you're training now, how would you be unbelievably fit from boxing?
Yeah, I would be fit. Not see, it's different fitnesses. You see, like when I was playing football and boxing, I would be very fit. I could go 12 rounds inside the ring, but then when I'm on the field, it's completely different endurance, completely different stamina. But if I'm fully at the top of my level going into a fight, I'd be able to go for 12 or 13 rounds, like no hassle. 3 minute rounds, like, and I know people say, oh, 3 minutes, that's not long. When you're inside the ring, that's long.
Yeah.
So I would be on top of my fitness, on top of my game. I wouldn't go into, it's a scary place to be when you're not fit inside the ring. For three minute rounds, it's not a nice place to be in. So if you're not prepared, you're not on a team sport, or you're not on a field that someone else can pick up the slack for you. If you're not fit, you will get a hammering, like, so.
Yeah.
I don't like putting myself in that position too often.
Of course.
But I have.
And made it out the other side.
But I have done it, yeah.
And when you were starting out, Christina, what was it like for girls? Was there many girls boxing? Would you think for younger girls now, is there more girls boxing?
Yeah, it's come on leaps and bounds, absolute leaps and bounds. When I started, as I said, there was barely any boxers there, any female boxers, and we all knew each other, everyone knew each other. Same with the male, yeah. Our male counterparts. It was a small, tight-knit community. The boxing still is. Everybody knows each other.
Yeah.
In Cork there for a while, there was no other boxers there. But in fairness, there's loads of clubs even that have more women boxing than men boxing. And I think a lot of it is to do with the social media. And there's a lot of pages out there now that are promoting this and promoting women's boxing.
Yeah.
And I'd love to be able to promote it even more. I feel I've done both sides of it. I've had a career in both in sport and in something that I'll have for life. So if I could get any girl to do one of them things, you know, to do the same as me and to put our focus on a career and in sport, I'd be delighted. That's all. If I could inspire one person, that's all I want to do.
And was anybody in the family or close or anything apprehensive when you said you were going boxing? Or
my mother, yeah. she never used to watch my fights. Like, she used to cover
really?
Her eyes. And I'd say my grandmother didn't. Maybe the first fight she wouldn't watch, but after that she was a nutcase. My dad's mother, she watched everything then. She was the main woman, but I suppose at the start they only thought I was just doing it for the crack of it, like, mm-hmm. you know, and I wanted to be this, that and the other. But when I was 16, that was my first time I went on the Irish team, and I actually had never been abroad, because as I said to you previous to the interview, we grew up in a farming household. We didn't go abroad for holidays. We were farming, we were milking, and that was about it.
Yeah.
We went maybe
you got Kinsale or something.
Yeah, exactly. Cara Salvina a few times, and back Kerry, and you know, but I don't begrudge that. They were the best years that we could have had.
We were the same at home. The girls took me to France for my 21st, and I'd never been anywhere before. I thought I didn't know where I was going.
Exactly, yeah, and you're so nervous, and yeah. the people around you are just so natural around
yeah.
it. Now, we went to Wales one year, actually, on the ferry, so we didn't go on the plane, but so when I was 16, I qualified, and I went to Romania or Hungary. That was my first tournament, and Katie Taylor actually was boxing in that tournament, which I thought it was unbelievable, so that was my biggest news. It wasn't that I was boxing abroad, it was that Katie Taylor was going to be boxing
yeah.
there, and I was going, like, and so that was my first time on a plane. My father actually followed me out. My father and brother went out to watch me, and that was unbelievable now, in fairness. So ever since then, they kind of just took it as, because
yeah.
every year, like, there was, every year I've had two or three tournaments, and I've been abroad two or three times a year, and then there was a year or two there when I was between 17 and 19 and 20 that I was abroad, maybe. There was one year I counted 16 times, so.
Jesus.
Yeah, so I went from going nowhere to everywhere.
Yeah.
So I have travelled the world. I have been lucky enough to travel
Fantastic.
The world. So the family take no notice now.
Yeah.
There's nobody that is afraid or anything. Like, they're more
yeah.
like, if I lose, like, what the hell was that about? Like, you know, you can do better. So
yeah.
There's no hack taken, to be fair.
And you were mentioning Katie Taylor there.
Mm-hmm.
For Katie Taylor, in terms of women's boxing, now obviously what I know about boxing, you can put in the back of a stamp, but is it fair to say that what she's done, is she a pioneer in women's boxing?
Yeah, she is, yeah. I'd put her up there with the best. Now, there are many females coming along up the ways that I've boxed with and that are making their stamp now, and they've taken years to do it. Just at the start, Katie, it just happened, there was not that many boxers, but what she has done and what she is doing is unbelievable for women's boxing. It's created the pathway in amateur, and it's created the pathway in professional now on top of it. So If me or any other girl wants to take it to the pro level, that podium is there for us, and that release is there for us, I suppose, that the sponsorship routes and all that. So without her, we wouldn't be where we were today, 100% not. Now there's a few others, you know, Kelly Harrington making her way and all that. Now I've seen Kelly start from the bottom, you know, I've seen her lose time and time again, and she kept on coming back, and she kept on pursuing it, and here she is now at Olympic Games, like, you know, and, yeah. And just as like the rest of the girls that are going representing Ireland at the Olympics, you know, so they're just girls that you can look up to. But I've been lucky enough to have trained alongside them, have won beside them, have lost beside them, and have spent very rough days in camps together. So you know, it's good when you see it working out for them. Like, it's just, it's tough on my behalf to see it and that they're there and that I'm not there with them. But as I said, I did have other things on, and I now do have a career out of it, and I also have a 4-year degree as well on top of it. So I have a few things in my basket.
Few feathers in the cap.
Exactly. Yeah. So back to Katie Taylor. She is top class. And I actually didn't know her when I started boxing. I didn't know of her or anything, and everyone saying, "Oh, Katie Taylor was the one that did it for you." But after a while, obviously, I got to know her, and I've been lucky enough to travel with her as well on a few occasions. Yeah. And she's a lovely girl on top, but she's humble, and that's probably where I have seen, you know, you can be good at your sport, but you have to be humble, and that's the way I'd like to come across. Anyway, I don't really take much heck of being Christina Desmond, the boxer. I kind of just want to be Tina.
Just Tina, as all your friends and family call you Tina.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they all call me Tina at home, yeah.
Majestic. And you were saying, sorry, what did you do with the degree, do you mind me asking?
I have a 4-year degree in sports strength and conditioning. And
fantastic.
Yeah, I did that in LIT in the Turles campus. And I was actually at the Youth Olympics when I found out that I got that course. I did my Leaving Cert and travelled to the Youth Olympics 3 weeks later, found out I got Turles, and I was like, what the hell did I even put on the CEO in Turles? I hadn't a clue what I even had in my CEO, because all I was interested in was qualifying for the Olympics. So during my Leaving Cert, I was in the World Championships in September. I won silver at the Youth World Championships. So then the aim was that I was going to try and go for the Youth Olympic Games. No other female in Ireland had qualified as a boxer. So in the October, my mother passed away, so that was my fortune in the middle of my Leaving Cert. So then I went on, and in April I qualified for the Youth Olympics that year, and then I went to the Youth Olympics in the August.
That's 12 months.
Yeah, it was a heavy 12 months, right? But whatever, I don't even know who did my CEO, because I don't remember doing it. But
someone along the way put a few bits down.
Someone obviously put it down. Maybe Louise did, the older sister. But so I got Turles. So I did a 4-year degree there. They were top class. They gave me the time out to train whenever I wanted. They understood that I was at a high level in the sport, and I got a few scholarships, and I got student of the course at the end and all. So that was massive. And so I finished that in that course. I had no interest really in training anyone at that time, because I wanted to go on and do my own thing. And you know, when you're in the gym yourself that long, you don't want to be inside the gym training somebody else. Like,
she'd have to put the bed up inside here somewhere if you're training somebody else.
Yeah, so I had no interest in it at all, and that's in the back pocket now if I want to use it going forward, even alongside the career. So to go into a team setting or whatever, I'd like to have a name first and have my career over me in the sports side of it. So I finished in the May of 2018, I think, and in July I got accepted into the Guards. So I started in Templemore.
Turles, Templemore, not Turles,
yeah, exactly. It's been 5 years in Turles, so I might as well have just picked up shop there. But Templemore then for the year, and then I sent down here to Dungarvan. So that's really where it has been. It's been pretty full on. There's been no break really. I've had no time, downtime, that I've had even 3 months together to go full-time training. So I have been given the opportunity obviously to go training full-time, but if what had happened to me in the boxing had happened and I hadn't gone for the Guards, I actually would be jobless and sportless for the past 4 or 5 months. So I'm actually delighted in a way. I know it's hard to see the Olympics going on now and me not being there, but that was out of my reach and that was out of my hands. I couldn't do anything about it. So for anyone that is saying, well, she should have just focused on the sport and focus on boxing, which some people are saying, you know, and like, I've heard it back, but like, if I did do that, I would be jobless and I would be sportless right now. So, because it was out of my hands, even if I had trained full time, the boxing was still, the qualifiers were all pulled from my reach. So,
the plan of having the arts in the back pocket or the career or whatever it was no load to you at all? Like,
no, absolutely not. No, I was delighted. I am delighted I did it now. And, you know, I have everything done in that and I've ticked the boxes and I now have a full-time job, so I'm lucky, and I have a good station. So they don't take my boxing as a, you know, they treat it with respect, obviously, but they don't give me any special treatment because
which you probably don't want either.
I don't want it all. If they bring it up, I tell them to stop talking about it because I'm at work now and I'm not training. So, but yeah, they are top class, in fairness.
And have you been down here long?
I've been here since March 2019, okay. So
two and a half years.
So I was haunted. I actually only got here because of Ring, because I was into the Irish Dream, that I was a fluent Irish speaker, and they had to send me near Gaeltacht. So I was absolutely blessed when I got Dungarvan. So I was. So well, at the start I didn't know what to think, but now I'm absolutely delighted. Yeah, I wouldn't have it any other way.
A nice spot now, Dungarvan.
Absolutely. Yeah. On a day like today, the sun is splitting the stones and the sea and everything. It's gorgeous. Yeah.
And you get home often?
At the start, I was trying my best to get home as much as I could between training and now. Yeah. And now, actually, I don't really get home too often. I was home yesterday, all right, for a few hours. I actually only seen them for about 10, 15 minutes, the family, because they were all at work. And I'm actually off next week, so I'm going to go home for the full week. That's the first full week I've spent there, with over a year, I'd say. So.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to do nothing, only stay at home.
Yeah.
Give it me 2 days and I'll be bored there. But anyway, I can't wait. But I try to get home as much as I can. Yeah. But I'm trying to set up shop here. My life is here now. And like, when I wasn't training, I was traveling. My car was just full of 3 suitcases, like, one suitcase for home, one suitcase for Dungarvan at work, and one suitcase for training. And, you know, I just pulled from any suitcase. And now I actually have a base here. And I only need a suitcase for going home to Cork, because my training's actually been here the past couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So now I don't even take training gear if I'm going home to Cork. But I will get back into that, because I have to get back into that. So, but for now, my home is here for now. And sometime maybe down the line, I might get back closer to home. But for now, I'm happy.
And at home, you said you're farming at home, are you?
Yeah, Dad's part-time farming. He owns a bus company as well. So he set it up there maybe back in 2002, and he's now 5 or 6 buses. So there's always something to do at home. He's always doing something as well. So if he's not in the buses, he's down the yard. So there's always something to be done. I love going home, and I love helping out when I am at home, and if I can at all, because I'm a bit of a danger when I am on the farm, so...
You're a bit of a danger.
Yeah, I could do anything. Yeah. So, I'm more or less driving the tractors or whatever, but I love doing that too.
Did you like it when you were younger, or had you much interest in it?
Michael would be the farmer in the house. That's what he does full-time. He works on a farm over the road. We would have always had interest in it. We were always down the yard and... messing, really. We were probably causing more trouble than anything else. I'd be thrown on the tractor to go drawing or silage or doing all of that. There'd be no hassle. We'd just be thrown up. You don't get a choice in the matter. You're just doing it and that's it. There was one episode where I was drawing bales and I put a bale down through 3 fields and destroyed all the fences. So I was retired in for a while. They were happy with me being away. Like, if there was ever anything on, then it was just like, Tina, we're actually all right. We have enough drivers. Like, I was retired for a little while, but that's all.
You only subbed down to the bench.
Exactly.
No one's ever retired.
When they're stuck again, they'll come back to me, I'm sure. But grew up on a farm, grew up in the middle of nowhere, we're 3 miles from any village at home. My town's land is Coolavukig, and you know, we had our own school bus, more or less, going to school. There's so many of us up the road, and we're all the same age. So it's great crack going home, because now we're all going out age. And, you know, if we are going out, we're all going out together, you know.
Yeah.
When I can go out, when I was boxing, I didn't ever get that opportunity. So now I'm kind of using it. when there's ever an opportunity at home. In the past couple of months, I've just been on it, like, so. That's, you know, it's great to catch up with them and to meet with them. So it is. So they understand as well how much training I put in, because they've been there all along. So
yeah, they grew up with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They grew up with me fighting the weekend and cranky because I was hungry, cutting weight. But a lot of didn't box as well. When the Desmond joined, everyone else decided to go too. So everyone has had a piece of the boxing lifestyle. So they have.
And you went there, they have a bit of dry stock at the moment. Do you remember your father feeding cows?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, jeez. I'd say I was 7 or 8 when he gave up milking. And my sister Louise was older. She was 12 or 13. And my dad was actually driving a truck full time. That time he was driving for Kilcrow and a local company at home. And I remember Louise having to go down the yard with my mother, and we were all down there as well, but sure, we were too young to put on any sucklers or anything like. But Louise would have been doing the jobs. Mike did too as well. I probably did as well, but I did more harm than anything. I was a wild child. In the house, not outside the house, I was a saint, which was probably the worst. But yeah, I can remember clear as day milking, and for a bit, I wish we had it still, but like, I remember for Holy Communion Day, I had it with my first cousin, us two and my first cousin.
It was 3 years.
And they all went off to Killarney, all the cousins and all, they all went off to Killarney, but we took home and milked the cows, so.
Yeah.
Do you know, that kind of thing was the worst.
That's
all part of it, that's the memories too, now that we remember that. But there's good and bad with it. So
100%. And before I let you go, do you have a nickname? Nickname? No. We'll make one up for you here now.
I have so many names. I go as Christina Yasuna in the Guards, that could go through Irish, and Christina Desmond is boxing. And then if you know me as Tina, then you know me well.
Yeah.
But if you if someone does call me Christina, I'm like, they only know me from the boxing or from Facebook.
Yeah.
So that's how it is. So no, I don't actually have a nickname.
Oh, what's your name, Asquinda?
Christina Yasuna.
Yasuna.
Yeah. So I don't know. That's the way I went in through and. It's different, all right. It's a strange one, but it's grand. They mightn't be able to find me if they're looking for me.
Well, Christina, thank you very much for talking to me today. It was lovely.
No problem, thank you.
The Irish Country Living Podcast.